Everybody. As Jed said, we talked about the gifts last week. We're going to talk a little more about it this week, and I think Felicity will touch on it again next week. Now, I just want to remind us of the scripture that Jed used last week, which was in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you, that's each of you, should use whatever gift you have received, whatever gift, whether you're the Pope or the bus driver, use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. In other words, with confidence and an authority that what they're saying is what God would say. If someone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God can be praised through Jesus Christ. We want to look specifically today about how to prepare to be used and then how to take action. So I just need to kind of get us to think again, what are the gifts? I found a fantastic definition. A charismata, or gift of the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit himself coming in a clear and sometimes dramatic expression. Oh no, not dramatic. Well, yes, Acts 2 was dramatic. As they minister one to another and to the lost. You know, gifts are God going public among his people. God going public. Jesus was the Father going public. And now we are going public. It's God in us that's going public. So in 1 Corinthians 12:6, and I loved what Alana shared this morning, she was so in the Holy Ghost. It says, and there are varieties of activities, as there are as many people, so there are as many activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. And later in verse 11, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So when things are said two and three times, it's important to know. So it's empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So you could say, summing all that up again, there's varieties of energizings. There's, but it's the same God who does that energizing in every single person. So spiritual gifts, whether it's speaking in tongues in a public meeting with the gift of interpretation or teaching, exhortation or evangelism, prophesying or pastoring, acts of service or giving, they're the effects or the results of divine power. Yes! The same people who spoke in diverse tongues in Acts 2 and got so excited, with overcome with the joy of the Lord, and began to prophesy, they all began to speak the mind of the Lord and the heart of the Lord. They were just touched by God. Those same people planted churches, healed the sick, raised the dead, preached to the thousands, they served widows, they gave to the poor, they looked after the needy. So there was a massive room there for various expressions of God. The diversity was amazing. Now, not one person, just as Alana, I was so blessed with Alana this morning, not one person can look upon another's gift and despise it. You cannot look at somebody else's gift and think, that's on the lower level. Mine is up here. You can't do that, because you know why? You're despising God. Because that person's gift is God inside and expressing through that person. And just as you can't despise it, you can't be intimidated by somebody else's gift either. I was told by a pastor many years ago, whatever you do, Gwen, never be intimidated by somebody who's got an outstanding gift. And I soon learned in my early walk that any person empowered by the Holy Spirit with a heart to bless was a force to be reckoned with anyway. So it's the empowering of the Spirit of God that touches the person. Sometimes if Billy Graham walked in here this morning, We might be a little in awe, but in actual fact, he'd probably be embarrassed if you were. We don't get overawed, we're inspired by. So why is it imperative to use our gifts? Well, to start with, we affirm and welcome the operation of the charismata or spiritual gifts in our lives. We are affirming and welcoming God himself. That's why we must use our gifts, because God is within us to express himself, to go public, to those we mix with, live with, and connect with in the world. The other reason is to bless others. It's imperative to bless others. This broken world needs what you have. That broken, those people you mix with at work, that you see down in Moray Field, that you see at schools, those people are desperate for what you have. Sometimes damaged Christians need what you have. Those going through very tough times need a spiritual gift demonstrated towards them. This is our way of fulfilling the great commandment and the great commission. Within you is a river of love and power to help, to bless, to minister to reach out to and encourage others. The richness within you must be released. It must be released, or it dies off. There's got to be outflow. That's why when we minister our gifts, it's a way of fulfilling God's command to love one another and reach the lost. Now, last Tuesday night, we had Samson here. Now, Samson, who's blessed us with his musical talent, and he's been in Australia for 3 years down at Hillsong and all of that. Now, he was a little disappointed because he couldn't stay in Australia. He's gone to America for 2 weeks and he'll go back home to India. Now, on Tuesday night, I saw a wonderful ministration of the love and the compassion of God in various people ministering to Samson through the spiritual gifts. And there were words of direction, words of encouragement. Somebody had a picture of something that meant something to him. It touched his heart. It blessed him. It ministered faith in him. He went away encouraged. So that's the kind of thing. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? Who doesn't want to send someone away from you better than they were when you found them? You know, Paul wrote in one of his letters, "I long to see you so that I can impart some spiritual gift." Look, there was something in him that just wanted to make people increase in faith, grow in God, be encouraged, be comforted, sense the love of God. That's what was in his heart. And a spiritual gift meant a special something that came from God that's going to do you good. So Proverbs 11:25 says, "Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them." Live to bless others. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favour. In Proverbs 11:27, it says, "Living your life seeking what is good for others brings untold favour." That was God's plan. That's God's plan through us to the earth. This presumes that others-centeredness is the form of the spiritual gifts, or in the form of the spiritual gifts, is the part of the normal Christian life. It's not for freaks or for the super spiritual, but it's for the spiritually empowered. Now, the diversity of God's expression of love and power is so enormous. Who could put God in a box? I remember one of the lecturers at university years ago saying, "Whatever you do at Bible school, whatever you do, Gwen, don't limit God to the lists of gifts, because God's bigger than that list. I don't think Paul could gather them all to write them. There were more gifts than that." However, having known all that, do you know what I see? I see many people not operating in their gifts. I see people who just don't know where to start. They don't know who they are. And they don't realise the urgency. They don't understand the importance of doing so for their own lives and for the lives they bless. So people can be blocked by unbelief, inadequacy, all of those things. So if you're one of those people, you might say, where do I start? I want to present myself as a living sacrifice. I want to do that. How do I stir up the gift? How do I get some action happening? Okay, so you want to join God's team? You want to be a channel of blessing and power? You want to get out of yourself and love others in a constructive way? Do I hear a yes? Yeah, baby. Here's how to prepare. Well, the first place you go is God. God himself. Get to know his heart and mind. Get to know him. Present yourself. Ask him what he wants you to do. Because remember Paul, he was traveling along on a horse off to kill a few more Christians. And then the light came and he got thrown off the horse. You know what was the first thing he said? What was the first thing he said when he fell off the horse? And then? What do you want me to do? So you can't hang around God long enough, long without asking, what do you want me to do? So what am I here for? He had a revelation of Christ that was so consuming, so absorbing, it so touched him, he immediately wanted to present himself for God's purposes. He no longer was living. He no longer was doing his thing. He no longer wanted to just live comfy. He didn't want to do that anymore. He wanted to do whatever this living God wanted him to do. So, okay, so you've gone to God. Edify yourself. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. You'll need faith to have this power of God operating through your life. If you're serious about being on God's mission, build yourself up. Walk closely with Jesus. Hold his hand. Paul needed to edify himself. Look, he had visions. He fell off a horse. He saw miracles. He raised the dead. He did all of those things, but he still had to edify himself every day. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And if Paul needed to, we all need to, in this life, in this rational-driven society that we're living in that's pouring out, it's not worth saying, is it? It's pouring out stuff that is nothing to do with the kingdom. So you can't drink that in day and night without it quenching your spirit. You've actually got to put God's thoughts and God's heart, acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Acquaint yourself with him and be empowered. So, look, you've probably got dormant gifts living in your life. But unless you drink in of that living water and build yourself up in faith, it'll stay dormant, and I weep over that. I would hate to think there was a dormant gift amongst us because of just apathy or not knowing what to do or whatever. Gifts are given by God to flow in. Okay. Another thing that we need to consider here with gifts, most of us have been around who have been around a while know that gifts can really be badly used and become detrimental if they're used incorrectly. And I just want to put this in here. Humility is desperately important to flow in those giftings. It's not a chance for you to have your day in the sun. It's not a chance for your ego to be on display. It's an opportunity for God's power to be manifested and him to be glorified. So, some men and women have had outstanding gifts, great big teachers of the word, evangelists and miracle workers, and have fallen from grace because they didn't keep God before the gift. And I think two men that I can think of who have had profound international ministries who have made a strategy early in their walks to keep God ahead of the gift, and that was Reinhard Bonnke and Billy Graham. Now, their gift has had untold effect on the world, and they kept God first. The other person in the Old Testament that blesses the socks off me is Abraham. You know, Abraham was given a treasured, precious gift in his son. It was a miracle. It was an impossibility, but it happened. God gave him to Abraham. And then one day, he's probably sitting there watching his boy thinking, ah, oh, this is my chance to bless the earth. And then one day God says, I want you to sacrifice him. And so he diligently went up the mountain and he put his boy on the sticks. And as he was about to take his life, God intervened and said, Abraham, look, that really wasn't my plan. But I can see that you have put me before your son. You have got right priorities. Your priorities are right. And because you've done that, I will bless you. And did you know every single one of us here today are here because of Abraham's prioritizing? He put God first. You are a believer today. The blessing throughout the earth. I'm a child of Abraham, a person who believes. And that's because he decided God first, the gift second. And so because of that, look, Jesus left heaven to come down and made himself a servant, even to the point of death. He had an attitude. He wanted to serve mankind. And then on the night before he goes to being crucified, he has the Last Supper and he washes the feet of his disciples. And he said, look, if I'm your Lord and your Master, and I wash your dirty feet, then this is what you need to do to each other. What's to stop you all from serving one another? What's to stop you? And I often feel that feet washing is a symbol of you refreshing one another, you making someone's life better, you inspiring them, you bringing them close to God again, if need be. So that's what feet washing, that's the servant heart that we need to have in the ministration of our gifts. And another really important thing, if you're thinking about launching out and you want to get going with God, is to learn the wisdom that you need to operate that gift. Because let's face it, many gifts have been operated and missed wisdom. And let's think of prophecy for a moment. Now, we're talking about gifts here from one side right through to the other, including everything, all the vocal gifts, all the active gifts, when we're talking about gifts. Otherwise, it would take days to get through all the information there is in the Bible about the different gifts. But just picking out prophecy, while prophecy is essential and an exciting part of God moving through his believers to the saved and the unsaved, if it's done incorrectly, it can be devastating. So if you have a gift, if you're drawn to the prophetic, if you're a pastor and you don't have wisdom, you don't attach or draw to the wisdom of God in the ministration of that gift, then there's devastation. So whatever gift you have, you need to learn the wisdom of God surrounding that gift. Accountability, and just regarding prophecy for a moment, prophecy should be judged by those who are sitting by. It shouldn't just be released into the earth. It has to be weighed up. It has to be judged. And there are times when feedback's required in specific situations. So every gift has a wisdom attached to it, and accountability is required for all of our gifts. Last point here before we move on to the practical aspects is whatever your gift is, find a mentor. Find someone who's... If you feel you've got a real gift of teaching or preaching on your life, find a mentor. Ask them questions to facilitate, to increase your understanding of that gift. Okay, so be edified. Have the attitude of a servant. Learn about the necessary wisdom that will go with it and look for mentors so that you can be encouraged in that particular gift. Okay, so you've done all that. That's pretty good. You're pretty powerful so far. Where do we go next? Well, I suggest you develop a volunteer's heart. Number one. Okay, I suggest you develop a volunteer's heart. I want every person in this church to put their hand up. Alana did that this morning. We're pretty good at putting our hands up and waving in this church. Okay, so you're all volunteers? Yes. Okay. Present yourself, whether you feel greatly gifted or not. Does anybody in here feel really profoundly gifted? yes, 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 there's a few. No, there's nobody. Whether you feel greatly gifted or not, present yourself. While you're sorting out whether you're a prophet or an evangelist, be a helper, like Philip. When the early church had a problem with their welfare program, they chose seven men who were filled, get this, they did the first things on our list, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they had attitudes of servants, servant hearts. And you know, those guys, everybody around them would have been raising the dead, healing the sick, doing miracles, planting churches, and then suddenly they get asked, because they're spirit-filled and on fire, to give out soup to old ladies. I mean, like I ask you. That would have felt like a big, you know, like, is this really necessary? Well, yes, it was. These men were edified and were servant-hearted. And they were given a position of the Ministry of Helps, helping distribute the church's welfare. But as they were faithful in the Ministry of Helps, this gift of helps, guess what happened to Philip? He became an evangelist. The miraculous operated through him. He had a profound effect on Samaria, absolutely profound effect. So he started helping. He started doing what was at hand. But the requirements to do what was at hand was still to be filled with the Spirit and have a servant attitude. So maybe God will bring you to your destiny through helping first. Learn to be faithful in the little things, then you are fit for promotion. The gift of helps, let me talk about that for a minute. I love the gift of helps. To relieve, succour, participate in, and or support. And those with the gift of helps are those who can aid or render assistance to others in the church and the community with compassion and grace. This gift has a broad range of applications, from helping individuals with daily chores, to assisting in the administration of the affairs of the church. So, the Ministry of Helps, let's just talk about that for a moment. These people, look, admittedly, I've never known anybody who fell into sin because they had the Ministry of Helps. It was more likely where they were lauded greatly. But the Ministry of Helps is not lauded greatly. It's a hidden gift. It's often done aside with nobody knowing anything about it but God. And let me tell you, you know where it says seek the best gifts? I suspect the best one was the gift of helps. You know why? Because God has this habit of flipping things. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. And this is a gift that's, we don't honour it enough. And I think God looks down at the Ministry of Helps and gives it more abundant honour. That's my doctrine. Okay, so we're putting our hand up. We're saying, what can I do to help? Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, Psalm 110:3 says. When you're filled with the Spirit, you will volunteer. You'll put your hand up. People put their hands up when they're filled with God. Judges 5:2 says, when the princes in Israel willingly offered themselves, great praise went up to the Lord. Have a determination to help, a willing heart. Zebulun and Naphtali were two of the tribes of Israel who responded to a call to come and fight God's enemies and to help. They experienced intense joy and satisfaction and an amazing sense of fulfillment when the battle was won. But all the surrounding tribes who were sitting around and decided they'd just watch to see what happens didn't put their hand up to contribute. And they felt they'd missed it afterwards. So don't be somebody who misses opportunities. You know, the gift of helps, I just want to stop there for a moment, I think everybody needs help. You know, when God created Adam, he looked down and he said, you need help. So So we gave him a helper. That's because, that's my doctrine. That's because basically all of us need help. And so we are, then we learn how to help. We need help, others need help. So we all can be helpers. I think I've shared this with you another time a few years back with John Maxwell, who had he's got a big speaking gift and big on leadership and everything else, and there was a guy in his church that he didn't really have a big bond with. But he turned up on his office one day and he said, "Pastor, I want to come and have a chat with you." And so he was a bit busy and he thought, okay, so he opened the door, sat him down, and the guy said, "Pastor, I don't have any gifts except one, and that's the ministry of helps." And he said, And he said, "Well, I've got 2 days a week spare and I want to offer them to serve you in whatever you need to be done in the church or whatever you need to be done." And John Maxwell thought, okay. So then he took his dry cleaning to the dry cleaners. He took his car to be serviced. He picked up things. He had this working and that working. And John Maxwell said over time, he was the most profound impactor on his ministry because he released him from so many things and did things that didn't worry him or burden him. And really, he was saying his own ministry wasn't what it was because of himself, but because of this man and others who'd helped. So all big ministries need a helper. Everybody needs a helper. Look, I want to brag on somebody who's in our church. He's not here today, so I can do it freely. Someone who came to our church a few years ago and had experience in children's ministry, women's ministry, event organising, loads of things that she'd put her hand to. Now, those specific types of ministry were not so available here in her new setting. So what did she do? Get depressed? No, she knocked on doors and she's now a vital part of City Women. She assists the local Presbyterian pastor's wife, Lynn Nicol, with her vision for the young women of Caboolture and prayer walks for chaplaincy. So you may think your gift is one thing in one place. It's really rising to do what your hands find to do. And it blesses me that she's adjusted to now reaching out in the avenues that God has given her. She didn't sort of say, "Well, I had this and it wasn't available here." Well, you can get bitter and twisted. You can have deluded ideas about what God wants to do with you. All of those things. No, she just went and found a place that was available and walked through it and has facilitated people being touched in our community. She got in touch with the vision of God rather than her own vision for her own life. I loved that. That's the heart of a servant, a volunteer, who says, "What can I do?" Now, being a volunteer and putting your hand up and saying, "What can I do?" is the first step. The next one is to commit to fellowship. Don't you mean fellowship, Gwen? No, fellowship. This means having a cooperative spirit. I tell you what, the body of Christ doesn't need any more "I did it my way" people. This means being in a cooperative spirit. You're willing to fit in. You're not a driver or a person determined to have your day in the sun. This means you've surrendered your ego to God. In the Old Testament, Joshua had the gift of helps and he ministered to Moses. And it says, so Joshua did as Moses said unto him. He fitted in with Moses. He followed him around. He went up the mountain with him. He was somebody who was there. He was a right-hand man to Moses. And he was faithful. And guess what? When Moses died, it was he who led Israel. So if you want promotion and you want a big job, be willing to do all the years of serving beforehand. In other words, it's a faithful in a little, ruler over much. Joseph gets put in jail for no good reason, but serves the prison master. He gets promoted and ends up second in charge of Egypt. He was gifted, but he didn't think, "That's not my gift," when he's in jail. He didn't crack up, he didn't get depressed. He just did what was at hand, and God honoured him. The third thing is start meeting the needs around you. Just look and see what can I do to help. Start meeting the needs around you. Just if you see somebody that could need encouraging, then go. Start there. God knows you're on mission. You're on mission. Do with all your heart what your hands find to do. Let me tell you, spiritual gifts are not optional, but they're mandatory according to Scripture. We can't just do church. Tucking church in on for an hour and a half on a Sunday is not really going to cut it. Our whole lives have to be in service to Christ. You know, in a small church, many people wear more than one hat, two or three, because we don't have the big ministries to be able to fill those situations. But Mr. and Mrs. Ordinary fill those roles. And guess what? Before God, it's profound. Before God, it's profound. In the New Testament, Timothy was Paul's servant. He went with Paul so many times and helped him. He would tell Timothy, stay in there and minister, and if you're coming from this place, bring parchment. And he gave him directions. The guy was had good fellowship. He was a blessing to Paul. Paul speaks of Priscilla and Aquila as being helpers in Christ Jesus. Debbie told me of a very positive result from the Tuesday night homework club. Quiet helpers, I don't even know the names of all the helpers, on Tuesday nights have improved a child's self-esteem and school performance to the point where a teacher was very impressed with her development. There's dedicated people in this church operating in a yoke-breaking prayer ministry every week. Try to stop them from going there? Nope, they're blessed. They don't want to stop the power of God flowing through them to reach others. They've put up their hand. Others diligently endeavour to reach out to people on the streets. Their heart for this has resulted in generosity from people in our community who've wanted to have given them food to help them feed the hungry. We have a person in our midst who's heard God speak to her about the homeless and lost and has started equipping herself to be able to lead them to Christ. Now, that's somebody who's serious. Tanya, we all know, most of us know Tanya here. She used to live with me. She used to come here. She was a chaplain. She rang me to say this week she had an opportunity to talk God to 12 young boys. She took one to the Baptist church last Sunday night and he asked the Lord into his heart. She's had opportunities to lead friends to the Lord, pray with someone for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and pray for the sick at the doctor's. She said to me, if anyone thinks God's not moving in Caboolture, Gwen, they need to get their glasses cleaned. You know what? I think they need to prepare their hearts for service. Prepare your heart for service. Are you one of these people who don't know who they are, what they've got, or don't know where to start? If you've had thoughts that you are too old, too young, past it, too entrenched in a negative mindset, too busy, you feel you've been forgotten by God, think again, because that is not how it is. That's all wrong thinking. Today you can be kick-started into living an exciting, fulfilling life by just doing what's at hand, but being filled with Him and reaching out to those around you. Don't get caught into just passivity. Connect with God about it. Put your hand up. Now I'm just going to ask, is there any today that want to have prayer? We will all pray for you. Put your hand up if you feel you'd like a kick start in moving out in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. Okay, there's two kickstarters. Any other kickstarters? You're already doing it? That's fantastic. Now, those kickstarters, those people, the people nearby them, could you lay hands on them? And we'll all pray together. Lord, I thank you for two honest people who want to be refreshed with the Spirit and be quickened by the vision of God. I ask, Lord, you would so give them a sense of your purpose and plan, and they would just know your direction day to day. They would be your ministry of helps, people that would touch the lives of those around them. They would sense you directing them and leading them. I thank you for quiet people who do the things behind the scenes. And I ask, Lord, that these two ladies would be such an inspiration to others, that they would have the quickening of God in their lives. They would start with God and say, what do you want me to do? They would reacquaint themselves in their hearts with fresh faith that God wants to use them. And they would make themselves available for all good things. We just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your great love and understanding toward us. Lord, we do want to be a people who are on the move. We do want to be a people who are charged with the wonderfuls of God. We do want to be charged with a sense of where you're going and we're following you where you're going. We want to be charged with that sense of your direction over our lives, that sense of knowing that we're taking steps to follow you. Lord, whether we're doing little things or big things, God, whether we're noticed or we're unnoticed, whether we're a prophet or a king, Lord, whatever we are, Lord, we want to present ourselves as a living sacrifice and be a person empowered by the Spirit of God to do what you want to. We want you to come public in the earth, Lord. We want you to be made public. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen.